what's up, everybody? Welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. Yes, of course, it is me, one of your hosts, Jonathan, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie.
Hello again, hello all.
So yeah, on this episode, we will be taking a look at 2011's computer animated Christmas science fantasy comedy film, Arthur Christmas, which was directed by Sarah Smith.
Dear Santa, my friend doesn't believe in you, but I think you are real. But how do you get around all the children in the world in one night?
Dear Gwen, do believe in Santa. He is real.
If you've ever wondered how it could all be true, the mystery will finally be revealed.
Operation Santa Claus is coming to town.
Go, go!
Engage rooftops. Ho, ho, ho.
Drop time 18.14 seconds per household.
Let's pick this up, people.
Mission accomplished!
What happened for going down the chimney?
Never did me any.
From Sony Pictures Animation and Aardman, meet the family who makes Christmas happen.
Here's to me, doing an even better job next year.
Santa's the boss.
That turkey did more than him.
Steve's the brains.
Revised drop time to 14.13 seconds.
And I'd love an espresso.
And then there's Arthur.
I just want it to be perfect for every kid.
But this Christmas...
There's been a glitch.
Oh, dear.
There's one small problem.
A child's been missed!
You want to wake up the whole North Pole?
Good idea. A child's been missed!
Arthur! Who cares about one single child?
Do you think she's the one kid in the whole world that Santa doesn't care about?
Do you know, Arthur, there is a way.
Well,
you're coming too, lad.
Me? On that? Up there? Pulled by them!
Dasher! Dancer! What are the others called? I could never really remember. Bambi?
I'm not really good with big animals.
This November, the last person anyone believed in...
Sir, why is Arthur out there?
...is the only one...
Reporting for duty, sir!
Stowaway!
...who can save the holiday.
Just stand back. Whoa.
It doesn't matter how we got here. As long as she still believes.
Arthur Christmas.
How do you think he's,
Fine.
No child left behind!
So, yeah, this is another one of these films where talking to people who... the person was has been a guest on the podcast, but when I was speaking about the Christmas one, this was a film that was brought up, which is quite strange. I don't know if it's is it like that popular? Just looking at box office figures and stuff, I don't know if it's one of the go-tos for a lot of people, but maybe it is. And it's never really been something for me. But then again, by 2011, I was an adult and probably stopped watching animation. And probably more specifically Christmas animated films. But have seen it before. Watched again, obviously, for the podcast. It's quite enjoyable. I can kind of get why people like it.
Yeah, no one really talks about this one. Maybe at the time when it came out. I remember it being a thing when it came out, but that's about it. I have seen it quite a few times now. So I don't know how many... Well, this is not my first time watching it, definitely not. But... I used to quite like this film. I still think it's a decent film. I'm just not that much into it now. It's pretty good. It's Aardman's second computer animated film. Usually they're stop motion, kind of Wallace and Gromit and stuff like that. And it's a good wee film. The story's kind of cool. It's a different take on how Santa stuff works, but it does it pretty well. It's pretty cool. It's decent.
Yeah, this one's a bit funny because it's not. I mean, I suppose it has a different take on the sort of magic behind Santa and how he goes around the world, delivers presents and stuff. And by this point, everything had got super advanced and It was like a military operation. If you watched the, well, the kind of second sequence of the movie when the sort of the big massive sleigh stroke spaceship pulls in and all the elves come out and they're part of the delivery squad. Yeah, it's a big production that goes into Santa being able to do what he does. Like I said, it's a different take on that side of Christmas or the Santa Claus story. It's just not as cool as Claus in terms of what it is to me. Some people might prefer this to Claus, though. I mean, I was shocked to realise that I had a 92% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, which is really quite high for a film like this. But then again, I suppose Aardman are probably ones that critics like, I would just assume. They seem to be up there or thereabouts most of the time, specifically when they're working with stop motion and Wallace and Gromit. I feel as though the narrative to this story is just a bit weird. It's basically Santa, they think they've had a successful Christmas Eve, they've delivered all the presents, and then eventually they realise that there's one missing. And then because it's became a finite military operation, they've basically crunched the numbers, and this has been the most successful Christmas in terms of delivering presents ever. But Arthur's point is, but one kid's going to wake up to nothing. Well, not a present from Santa, and he believes that every kid should. So he kind of goes out of his way to eventually go off on his own accord with the help of Grand Santa to try and deliver this child's gift. And it turns out to be the little girl who writes the letter at the very start of the film. I think, well, I'm 100% positive. Maybe shouldn't say 100% positive, but I'm pretty sure it is that little girl whose bike that they need to deliver.
Yeah, it's a kind of cool concept, I guess. Like, it's really, I've never seen, it's like literally like a spy military operation of a spaceship, and it's like they go in, it's all tactical and stuff like that. All the elves, doesn't really seem like Santa's doing much. He's just kind of there. It seems mostly the elves are doing the work, and whoever Hugh Laurie's character is called, I'm so bad with names. Whatever he's called, he's kind of working it from back. And then you've got Arthur, who it really just seems like no one gives a fuck about. But they're all a little busy. It's like, all right, hello, Arthur. They don't seem to be that bothered. But yeah, then of course, one gift's missing. Arthur's like, we should give it. I'm pretty much the same what you're saying at that point. But it's a kind of cool idea. And it's kind of fun. I don't remember most about the middle of this film. I kind of forgot where they landed. They landed next to tigers and stuff like that.
They lose a lot of the Serengeti.
Serengeti, yeah. It's kind of odd. Old Santa seems like he was really into it, then he's just completely like, oh.
Well, that's because he was doing it for himself rather than what Arthur thought he was doing it for the kid. I don't know, because he wants to sort of say to Stephen that he's still got it and he can do it, but yeah. It's quite good though, because he goes, the first part of the film you've got a big mega spaceship, but when they eventually go out to try and deliver this gift, they go back to the old school sleigh and reindeers, and it all kind of goes awry where, do you know another thing is, it's got some Christmas Chronicle elements to it, as Christmas Chronicles. See, this is the thing. I have never watched this many Christmas films back to back before. And I'm starting to see a lot of tropes in each film that have maybe just been sort of subtly pinched, you know, and maybe tweaked a wee bit to put into a different film. Because Christmas Chronicles has got an element of this as well, where it's more military operated than you might believe. Maybe not to the same degree with like a squadron full of elves, but there is a lot of elves in Christmas Chronicles. It's just they don't come down like with Santa, but they are helping them along the way. And obviously the reindeers, like, they kind of go missing, and we start to lose reindeer in this film, and it's all kind of a bit strange. What I quite like is the way they might, like, they've kind of, see when they try and pinch the reindeer off the sign, and the guy comes out with a shotgun, and then like he looks like an alien, and because they've got lights and he spins around, it's like it does look like a UFO. It's fucking bizarre.
Yeah, I completely forgot about the whole fact that, like, everyone in the country starts thinking there's a UFO cutting about, and they start getting attacked. The sleigh gets blown up in this film. I thought at the end of this film they reverted back to using the sleigh, but I'm clearly not thinking of the right. I was wrong about that. I also feel like I've got a bit of a plot hole with this film as well. That is, Arthur says to Nick and Santa that, oh, we should deliver this gift, and they were like, there's no time to do it. So they go on, so him and Grand Santa go on the sleigh, and maybe the sleigh's faster than the ship or something like that. Maybe that's a way to explain that how they could make it in time but not the ship. But then at the end of the film, the ship makes it there in time completely fine. So what was the huge issue of, oh, I would never get there in time anyway, when they could have easily got there in time? I don't understand that at all. It's weird. How do you feel about that?
I think there was also something mentioned about the fact that the ship had already went around the world, so there was a chance of it potentially kind of having a failure or a breakdown or something, which, do you mean, that kind of makes sense. I think at that point when it was brought up about the time, it was more Stephen just giving them an answer, you know. He's all technical. Yeah. He doesn't look at the magic and the miracle. It's like everything's percentages and it's like finite detail, you know. Whereas Arthur's more on, it goes on a whim, goes on gut. And he kind of believes what he should be doing is right. And turns out he is. It just takes a bit of time for everybody to believe that. It's kind of shit though, because Santa doesn't really care.
I don't like Santa in this film.
Exactly, he kind of cares for a bit, and then Stephen says that, and he's like, oh, do you know what, I'm going to go to bed. And like, he just goes to sleep, and it's kind of shit. And then Arthur decides to go and do it all, and it's like, oh, right, well, maybe I should have done something. And it's a bit of shit. I mean, Santa in this doesn't seem like a great human. The way that Santa should be, I don't think.
It's like Stephen's got a way of thinking about it, which is fair. Like, he's got his way. It's not, it's kind of shitty, but it's like at the same time, at least like he kind of stands by it, whereas Santa just doesn't seem to care at all. Santa's got, later on in the film, Santa says to, like, Steve, oh, why did you not like convince me or something like that? Like, why did we not do that? When it was Santa's call not to do it. It wasn't his call and stuff like that. He's just a bit of a dick in this film. I don't really like him. Whereas Steve, I don't have as huge an issue with, for being just kind of technical and stuff like that. He's still not the greatest, but he's. And I feel like none of them really care about Arthur at all either, which I think I already mentioned that, but yeah. The ending of this film, the film just gets to the end and then just starts showing, like, still images with writing.
Yep. I don't know how I feel about that as well.
Seems kind of, it's like when you get an ending in Fallout, it's just, there's no ending, it's just like you get little cards depending on how they played during the game. It just seems a bit lazy. Maybe they ran out of time to do any more animation or whatnot. They're just like, alright, still image writing. Oh, and so it pretty much says, I think Arthur is now in control. Yeah, no, I don't remember this ending being this kind of lazy. It was like, it's just kind of, yeah, that's quite bad. I don't really like it at all. I think it was not a great way to end the film, but I guess if they ran out of time or whatnot, maybe that's the only way they could do it. But that's just how I feel about it.
I don't even know if that would have been the case, though. I think it's just one of those things where they got to the end of the actual narrative, they delivered the present, and basically looked as though Arthur was going to become Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the narrative done, but then they kind of flung in some sort of tidbits of information about what the characters in the North Pole, the sort of main ones, are doing now. It is a bit lazy, but I can kind of see why they done it that way. I mean, I don't know if this is like always the case with Aardman Productions, but I mean, this is UK heavy in terms of voice cast, you know.
Aardman are always UK heavy, yeah. I think it's just because they're British.
Well, they are British, but then you've obviously got Hugh Jackman and Flushed Away.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Hugh Jackman and Flushed Away, yeah.
And then, I mean, I think Chicken Run's an Aardman production.
I think so, and that had Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson is Rocky, so, but maybe the yeah, I don't know.
For the most part, it's British.
Yeah, the kind of middle of this film's a bit wishy-washy, because also there's some plot holes as well where when they're looking for Treelaw in Cornwall, is where the wee girl stays, they're trying to deliver the presents, but he just picks the first one that comes up, and it ends up being in like Mexico or somewhere in South America, and it's like, but they've just flown that way, and so in the time parameters is another thing Kenzie brought up. I don't understand the time aspect of it. I feel as though they would have ran out of time logically, but then again, they're flying reindeers and spaceships, so maybe not. There's no real understanding of it. At least with the Christmas Chronicles, you got to see it kind of working.
Mm-hmm.
Like the kind of time travel-y, time jumping-y kind of element to delivering presents, which was quite cool actually in the Christmas Chronicles. But with this, it's a bit not really explained, and you know, they only had a few hours to do it, and they managed to go fucking backwards and forwards pretty much for the whole film until they get to where they need to go, and they don't even manage to get there on their slides, you know, ride the bike at the end as well. It's like,
yeah, he like slide about in the bike and then while wrapping it up. Yeah. And they don't make it in time, and then the spaceship covers about to make it look like it's still nighttime. I mean, I feel like they still could have just like chucked it in quickly, but I guess that's what make it look like nighttime. They post it in time and that, and yeah, they let Arthur do it. Not this, because they're fighting over who should deliver it, and they say, Arthur, you should do it. Well, that's kind of the film.
Nothing. There's not a lot happening, you know. Should Aardman stick to stop motion? Possibly.
See, I don't know, because I really like Flushed Away. The thing is, Flushed Away looks a bit more stop motion-y, if you know what I mean. Like, the animation's computer animated, but it's still, like, played away, if you know what I mean. It was Flushed Away, where it's not at all with this film, I feel like.
Technology advancements as well, though, I suppose. All things change. This was a collaboration or a joint partnership with Sony.
Right.
After they parted away with DreamWorks Animation because of how poorly Flushed Away did. So, I don't know. I think Aardman should stick to Wallace and Gromit, in my opinion. Chicken Run is a film that people seem to really like, and there's a sequel that's been spoken about for ages. I'm none the wiser to know when this is actually coming out, or if it is actually going to come out at some point. There's been talks about it for a while. I think it says on their Wikipedia page 2023. So we shall see. It's just a shame because I don't think we're ever going to get another Wallace and Gromit movie or don't TV think so. Show. Well, Peter Salas is dead.
Yeah.
The late, great Peter Salas voice of Wallace.
I don't know. Like, I feel like a lot of people could probably do the voice quite well, but I don't know. We'll just have to see if they ever think we should do it or not, or just leave it.
I feel as though it's that ingrained in UK culture that it might be a bit of a shit thing to do. That's just my opinion. Folk might just go, I don't care, I want another Wallace and Gromit, but yeah. That's where I stand. I'm maybe just think they should leave it at that, but yeah, I'm in concentrating other franchises or new projects that they can do, you know. They could create something else. They don't need to keep going back to the same well, I suppose. But yeah. I mean, like we said, I mean, this film didn't really do great box office wise, money wise. I mean, $100 million budget grossed $147 million. That's nowhere near enough, really, to sort of cover costs, probably. But then again, really well reviewed by critics in terms of Rotten Tomatoes. And so it's quite strange with these films. It's kind of hard to see what's right and what's wrong. It's a funny one. I don't necessarily think that money is the only thing that matters in filmmaking. Sometimes craft is all you need.
Yeah, I don't know if I've got any more to say about this one.
This could be the shortest podcast, the Christmas series, then, if really? We don't really have much more to say.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not one that I'm massively fond of, so that's why I'm struggling to sort of buy into it. I mean, I watched it and like I'm clutching at straws. It's not really my kind of film. It's probably one of these films that is more aimed at kids. Even though it's animation, like I'm still going back to Claws. If you've not checked out the Claws episode, do, please do, and please watch the film and maybe even let us know what you think of it, because me and Kenzie absolutely loved it and thought it was an incredible piece of work. Whereas this, that bit, what I was going to say with Claws is you can still tap into it as an adult. I still think there's enough in it. Whereas this is probably really aimed at kids.
I feel like I've grown out of it. Okay, I used to quite like this one.
See, this is for your age group, because when you were born and stuff, you would have still been relatively young when this came out. So
I would have been, what, about 10?
Yeah, so. And you've grown out of it, and it's not one that you've kind of stayed with. I don't know if they made the right decision to go away from the stop kind of motion look. That was a directorial choice by the director. I'm not necessarily sure it works. I think if it looked more stop motion-y, I think maybe it would have looked a bit better. I don't necessarily think this animation style was all that good.
I think this film would be weird if it went with the stop motion look.
But then again, I don't think it's went one way or the other. It's kind of weird, like hand drawn animation is something I am a big fan of, hence why I think Clausey's animation is amazing. Or if you go the whole proper computer generated way, like full blown like Pixar or New Disney, this doesn't really look like that either. Do you know what I mean?
It's kind of
quite in the middle-ish, weirdly. And then obviously you can go the whole full stop motion sort of clay or plasticine models, and then that's got a completely different look. But there is newer versions of that style as well, which we will come on to talk about on another podcast, because we will be talking about a stop-motion film very, very shortly. And if you're watching the stream now while we're recording, you will hear it very, very soon. But for those listening, you will have to wait another few days. So yeah, I think that's it for us and for Christmas. Sorry that we've not really added all that much depth to it, but like I said, it's a pretty simple film. So yeah, we'll just move on to the ratings then. So, Kenzie, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I would probably... I'm going to give it... I'm probably going to give it a 2.5, to be honest. Like, it's decent. It is decent. I'll give it a low 3. I feel like... Because it is all right. It's like a decent film. I think it's probably better than average. I think it was definitely better than average, but I'm still like, I'm just not bigger than this film as I used to be. Like, the animation still was all right. The animation looks good enough. Voice acting's all good. The story's all right for the most part. It's a bit iffy. I feel like the kind of middle part of this film is not that good. I also feel like there's a bit kind of plot holey at times. But it's a family Christmas film. It's all right. For like Aardman, it's definitely not their best work. If you want a better computer animated film, they've only done like two. Watch Flushed Away. In my opinion, Flushed Away is really good. I love Flushed Away, so I would rather watch that. I would give it a low three.
Yeah, I'm probably not that high on it. This hasn't really been one for me any of the times I've watched it. I just want to preface and say that, Adam, if you're listening to this, you're probably not going to like what I've got to say in terms of rating of this. For me, there's nothing that I look for in a film, and I'm glad to say that I'll probably never ever watch this again. It's nothing has drawn me in and made me want to go back to the well with it, which is a shame, because up until this I've actually been enjoying a lot of the animation, or all of the animation, or the animated films that we've done so far in the Christmas series. So yeah, I'm just going to give this a 2. That might be shockingly low considering the IMDb rating and the Rotten Tomatoes score, but this is just my personal opinion, and it's really not for me. It's not a me kind of movie. So yeah, that's all I have to say. Mackenzie, you might be closer to where everybody else might sit with this, but
yeah, I feel like I was going a bit harsh, like, because it is an alright film, it's just not for me. I judge a lot of these films more on how I enjoy them more than like how the actual film is, and I feel like I was getting a bit harsh giving it an average. Because it is definitely better than that. I think 3. It's a decent film. It is decent, but
Maybe I'm being extremely harsh. But like I said, it's all opinions. It's an opinions game. So yeah, I'm sticking by it. I don't always like the same films as everybody else. Just wanted to give a wee tidbit, a wee fun fact before we end the podcast. That, can you guess which actor was the original choice to voice Arthur Christmas?
So James McAvoy played, I didn't even recognise it was him. I have no idea.
David Tennant.
Oh.
It's another Scottish guy, so it would have been a Scottish actor nonetheless.
I mean, I would have liked Eiler.
I mean, you're a big Doctor Who fan. We're not going to get into Doctor Who, but yeah, that's... I don't know. James McAvoy, people like him as well. I was going to say more people like David Tennant, but I'm not sure that statement's... actually factually correct, because I wouldn't ever be able to find that out. But anyway, before we ramble on, that is it for another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. We hope that you are enjoying listening along and what we have to say about these films. And yeah, we're having a blast doing it, although it's been a bit tedious to try and turn these around in ample time, because it can be quite painstaking at times, and not one to moan, but I'm currently working and I'm up early in the morning and it's a bit shit, especially this time of year, because it's been terrible weather over here in Scotland the last few days. But no, I have a lot of fun doing this, so does Kenzie, and we appreciate you listening and the support that we get. So yeah, if you'd like to check out all past episodes of the podcast, you know where to find us. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. You know, wherever you stream your podcast, you will find us just by searching Cult Film Cafe. And if you'd like to go over and give us a wee follow on all the platforms that we use to sort of plug the podcast, it'll be Instagram, Twitter, and now Twitch, because we have a Twitch channel where we'll be doing streams of all various different things. We are at Cult Film Cafe at all of those places. So yeah, it's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
Podcast it.